Welcome to the RepChat Inside Stories series, conversations with creative talent and creative entrepreneurial businesses. We discover the inside stories that inspire and motivate creative people to do what they do.
Hi, welcome. This is Boris Prigmore for the RepChat Inside Stories series. And my guest today is Brett Beach, the co-founder of MIA Chocolate, or is it Mia Chocolate? It's a brand that's they bring you bar to bean chocolate made in Africa. And as I was just reading, you've won, I think, 5 Great Taste Awards now, which is certainly how I go about choosing what delicious chocolates I'm going to buy. So great to have you with us, Brett.
Thanks for having me, Boris. Definitely appreciate you having us and Mia on. And I think Taste Awards, especially with so many chocolates in the market today, can help consumers when they're not sure. Some of these specialty stores have 100 or 200 to choose from. Yeah. So it is a big selection.
Fantastic. Just to sort of warm us up, as it were, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your organization?
Sure. So I personally had the good fortune of going to Africa, specifically Madagascar, as a Peace Corps volunteer. For those that don't know it, that was started as an alternative to military service when it was mandatory, and now it's both are of course optional. And you basically go and work and try and improve life in underdeveloped countries for 2 years. And I was a English teacher in Madagascar, so I taught first year English and a little bit of high school English, and then did other projects alongside. Completely fell in love with the country and ended up staying to work another 4 years. And 6 years in, I really wanted to stay, but I also wanted to go back to the States. And so I took a bit of the country with me, and we started to work on a previous company exporting chocolate, and did that for 10 years. And then my wife and I decided to start another company named Mia. And Mia's about basically proving to the world that you can win great taste awards, but in a different way. And that's by making a product from start to finish in Africa. And it's unique because Africa is producing about 70% of the world's cocoa, but the people on the continent really don't benefit from much of the added value of making chocolate. So people think of chocolate, a lot of people would say Belgium, France, Italy, US, England. Meanwhile, most of the cocoa comes from Africa. So we want African countries to start popping up on people's tongues when they think of chocolate. That's what Mia is about. And then that creates more jobs. About 4 times the impact compared to exporting cocoa. And our vision is to work with different communities around Africa, not just in chocolate, but in other food products, always adding more value than they would realize if they just exported their raw ingredients.
No, fantastic. So a good mission-led business and tasting good along the way too. So the Peace Corps obviously was an important part of your life, and to help us understand, you know, the man, the couple behind the business, how would you say that I saw your childhood was based in a couple of places in the States, but you're originally from the UK. Like, yeah. how does that inform who you are now and Mia?
Sure. I mean, my mother took me to the US via Spain when I was about 3. So I started to move around quite young. And then when I was growing up, traveling with her to Mexico, Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, back to England, places like that. And I think in that time, yeah, you naturally just get used to seeing new things and people and trying new food. And it's something that you become interested in. And then once I finished university, I thought I really wanted to try something where I could live with people and really understand as much as you can as a foreigner, their culture, how they lived. And Peace Corps was perfect. As soon as I learned about it, I jumped because you don't have a lot of resources. And so you're forced to be quite close to village life wherever you are. And I think really what came out of all that in terms of that completely shaped shape me as a person, because I feel like sometimes in the more we have, the less sometimes, not that we invest in ourselves, but the less that we have to keep everything, let's say, show who we are through ourselves. And I think a lot of times people in poor countries, really what they have is to offer is there. That's it. It's kind of what they can do for you, with you, how they can help you, because a lot of times they don't have a lot. And so living in Madagascar and seeing how people interacted, how they helped each other, how they served as each other's lifelines, or how families help where there's no credit card or bank and help each other out, all those things kind of combined to just reshape the way I see the world and how people can live. And then I think on top of it, what motivates me with Mia is that when you know how hard it is for some people in the world just to get a job, that motivates you to want to spread the word to do something like Mia, because you know that you can create jobs. You might not be in the beginning, if you're small, you might not be creating thousands of jobs, but you know that you're creating many more than you would otherwise. And so as you grow, you're basically creating more impact than we could any other way. We see as a, you know, a chocolate company. And so I think the two fit together well, and it creates a nice bond between kind of my past and present and what we're passionate about.
Yeah, super. So so actually buying me a chocolate is helping all these people that wouldn't otherwise get help. And how about the process of making chocolate? I mean, it sounds like you're supporting many families producing this work or more. So could you tell us a bit about how that works? Yeah. And what the impact is?
So what we do is we work with local partners. So for example, the cocoa farmers, obviously, and then the chocolate making team. And really, if you imagine, you know, any business, people who have their own business, think of all your supply partners you need just to do get anything done, you know, from accountants to printers to transport, so that all of that around the chocolate happens in Madagascar, and we can stimulate it and have oversight over the supply chain and things like that. But it's local people getting it done. So we would make the boxes that the chocolate shipped in, make the little packets that it's packaged in Madagascar. So those people are working, and those are skilled jobs. So it supports different levels of employment there. And then, like I said, the cocoa is a big one, but there are other ingredients like candied orange, candied ginger, sugar. Those things are also coming from the country. So it's kind of like a bike wheel. Instead of one spoke, you have all these spokes of value coming in around the chocolate. And then the chocolate making. And what I think the other big difference is, it's not just quantitative, it's qualitative. So, you know, you can add more of a raw ingredient, or source more, create impact that way, but it's always still a raw ingredient. When you make something, it's a different type of activity. And that's where a lot of development happens in a country, when they can actually go above farming and start to produce things. And so that's another reason we're passionate to do Mia the way we do, is to create that and support that kind of industry. And yeah, it's not rocket science, but chocolate has a lot of added value. So within the factory, it's not, you know, some simpler products, like I would say spices, you might get them and package them, and that's more or less it. But chocolate's roasted, it's ground, it's packaged. There's a lot of preparation. There's shelling of the cocoa, sorting. So it has a lot of value add along the way, like about 13 steps, or, you know, from bean to bar that you could count.
Wow. Okay. So 13 steps plus all the accounting or all the packaging. That's great. So what are the challenges of getting that set up?
Well, like I said, we work with existing partners, but a lot of times some of the challenges is what's available. So, you know, the US, Europe, other big economies are hubs of ingredients. So you have hazelnuts coming in, almonds coming in, all these things that you could use in chocolate. When you work sort of off the track, you don't have that luxury. So if you want to use some of these items, although they're in smaller amounts, you know, you have to go to great lengths to get them. Otherwise, you get creative. So we look for local partners who create quality products. And a lot of times people are capable, but sometimes they might not have the market. So it's about working with them to refine what they do. But by and large, we find that there's a lot of capability. I mean, the print is a good example. In the beginning, we weren't able to print in Madagascar because there just wasn't the capability there. But then eventually they came around and we sort of changed our packaging a little bit to accommodate. And we found a good let's say, collaboration and also sort of a compromise where we could still show our packaging as we needed to, and they could actually realize that value in the country.
So those are the challenges. And how about some of the highlights, some of the joys of the work that you've done so far?
Well, I think for us, it's always fun to do something new and different. I think there are a lot of chocolates in the market, especially today. There are a lot of craft chocolate makers, and that's great. Everybody makes it in their own way and does their own thing. But I think to be able to think, okay, we're doing it in a little bit different way. This is the way we feel we can contribute to the development of the communities we work with. That's really exciting because a lot of things, you know, if you look at the history of cocoa, sort of during colonization, that would be forced labor. And then we have free labor with still a lot of bad things going on in cocoa supply chain. And then you have the idea of fair trade. And so this all builds one upon the other of getting better and better. And we feel like with the idea of fair made or making something at source is kind of an evolution of fair trade. And just like fair trade had a start one day, we believe that these seeds of change can lead to something bigger as people catch on. And there are more and more brands doing this, not just in Africa, but South America and other places as well. So I think creating that change, not just within your own company, but when you can inspire other people, often, you know, it's the second or third or fourth when it really picks up and kind of gains that momentum that you need.
Super. I was reading about your One for Change initiative. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. So what we did is we looked at different organizations, like Whole Foods has a Whole Planet, and they do projects with that. And that was an inspiration, as well as Fair Trade, who does community projects. So we thought Mia has its own identity. We know how we work, but what can we do to benefit people outside the supply chain? So we created that, and it's supported by Mia Sales. So again, it's a way a consumer can have impact without doing anything, just eating the chocolate and buying it. And a lot of times in the places we work, a little can go a really long way. So for example, we've done a school kitchen where the kids were having to cook on the ground. They didn't have anywhere to store their food. And so now they have a proper kitchen, proper storage, and they have a school garden that they use to provide for that kitchen. We did another project with some COVID relief with education and mask production locally to help people there. And then one of the things that we're really excited about is where we have now created a girls' education fund, because a lot of girls are the first to get pulled out of school when families face hardship. And so our goal is every year to add to that group of young ladies who are in high school, university. And we're seeing that as much as the support, people just knowing there's somebody on the other side is really exciting to them. And I think gets them motivated to go that extra mile. So these are different ways that we can create an impact in Madagascar and Africa more broadly in the future. And once you work there and you get to know good organizations and good people, then it's only natural to get excited about doing these things. And it's sort of built into the DNA for Mia. So we can say, instead of doing, you know, 5 ads in a magazine per year and paying for that, we pay for One for Change, and that speaks for itself. So you're doing good and you're also expressing kind of the values of your company at the same time.
Yeah, super. I have to admit, I'm always impressed by people that are making stuff happen, right? So out there on the ground, you're seeing the need and you're really creating value, then creating projects that have a benefit where you see it, which is just excellent. So you're a husband and wife team. What's it like to be with each other all the time at work and at home? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so we're the co-founders, and there are others obviously involved, but a lot of it's outside the immediate surroundings, especially because we produce in Madagascar. But, you know, it works really well. Obviously, you'd have different viewpoints, but I've always thought and experienced that in my work life, it's not if you disagree, it's how you settle it and how you disagree and how you move on. And we're good at settling it and moving on. And sometimes, you know, if you have different viewpoints, that's healthy. It's only when it sort of gets destructive that it's not healthy. And so I think we have a very good understanding on that level. And then otherwise, it makes it quite easy on a lot of levels, because a lot of things can be really, really informal and quite quick, you know. So updating each other on what's going on and getting materials for Sarah does the social media and some of the marketing stuff, and I do more of the sales side and that business management. And so it's quite fluid in that way and easy. So I don't really see many downsides, but I think it can help if you're bonded in a different way, you know, because then you can kind of get through any struggles, I think, a bit easier. Yeah.
So you, so being able to address and move forwards, get over things and not let things become too big is what I'm sort of hearing in there.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's the bigger picture that matters, and we have a shared vision. So if that guides you, then the little things don't really matter. You know, how you make a certain chocolate bar one way or the other, if it's good, then, and we both really like food. So sometimes you have in companies, you know, they say, "Ooh, if we did that, we can save this." And of course, it's great to create efficiencies, but you have to have your limits. And so with us, we want to make a good product. And, you know, if it costs a bit more, we do that. So I think if you're aligned on the bigger values, then the little stuff's easy, you know.
Fantastic. And so how would you say the work you've done so far, how's that shaped who you are?
I think for one, it gives me a lot of respect for anybody who builds anything, a business, a school, because it just takes a lot of work from the start. Even, you know, Mia is not we haven't built a factory. We work with people. We haven't started a cocoa farm. We work with them, but just building even Mia and communicating it and keeping it alive and fresh, it's a lot of work. And I think it gives me appreciation in that way. I also feel really lucky, because I think we've looked at other products and we haven't rejected them because they're not chocolate. But when you think of chocolate, there aren't many things in life that you can love from the time you can eat solid food until the time you say goodbye. You know, from 2 to 100, people love chocolate and it makes their eyes light up. So childhood memories to adulthood treats. And I think we're lucky to be able to work in that sector. And also because there are so many things that need to be done in cocoa, and we think in chocolate as well, to create a bit more of an equitable world. It's an exciting place to be. So, you know, in that way, we're really fortunate. Some products are not so, consumers are not so engaged. You know, if you think when you buy toilet paper, you know, do you really get behind the brand or think about it that much? Most people know, they just grab something. A lot of products are like that, maybe sugar for some people, but with chocolate, people get really excited. And that's something that they want to support causes, buy certain quality, and get behind brands. And so it's a good place to be, I think.
Yeah, so I'm certainly seeing more premium and more superior brands appearing out there. Where can people find Mia Chocolate? Where can we go and taste the deliciousness that you guys have spent so long producing?
That's a hard question, because a lot of the shops we work with are specialty shops. So mm-hmm. We do promote the web sellers on our site. We don't sell online, but we list the web sellers that are available in each region. I mean, we are out there in Australia, the US, the UK, and in about 5 other countries in Europe. We're in Whole Foods in the UK and some on the East Coast in the US. But it's hard because we can't name one big store that we're in, you know, in one country. So, you know, people can always get in touch with us if they're wondering where to shop in their area as well.
So maybe the easiest thing is to head to, I think it's Mia Foodie, is that right?
Miafoodie.com. And if people don't want to order online, which now we can start going to stores again, then we can try and guide them or get in touch with our local partner to see where they might have a store near them.
Yeah, super. And so for other creative entrepreneurs out there, what lessons have you learned that you think, God, I wish I'd known that, or this is really useful stuff to know? What advice have you got for those out there?
I think it's a balance between a long-term vision and an iterative process. So, you know, you want to, when you create a company, and if it's anything that you want to take beyond your city or something, you know, think of trademark and names and what your website URL could be and your social media and all that, and try and get it as good as you can and not invest in something that will fail because somebody has the name already, for example. So there's that, but then there's not getting too far ahead of yourself. So, you know, you might have a vision of how you think things will be selling or received, but if you do your first farmer's market with food or, you know, whatever it may be, you might see that it's actually something you didn't think would work that catches on. So I think it's sort of baby steps in some ways, but in some ways always also looking down the road and seeing where you want to get. And I would say you don't know till you try in a lot of ways, not just whether it'll succeed. And I don't think there's really, nothing would really fail unless you give up. You know, there's always a way. If you're open, you can always find a way to express yourself and have a business, but it might not be the way you set out to. It might won't be what you set out to do in the beginning. So I wouldn't say there's failure in that way. It's just when you want to, you know, stop or when you want to keep going. But you have to, you know, if you just sit on the sidelines and do a business plan for 5 years, you'll never really know. And that's so I'd say. And jumping in doesn't mean full-time quit your job. You know, it can just be, just do it, you know, try it. Yeah. And you'll probably learn a lot about yourself and your customer and how it feels to do the business.
Great. So I'm hearing jump in, give it a go. Don't rely on it necessarily to going well the way you expect, but try and listen to what the market and the world is telling you as you go and learn the lessons.
Yeah, I think if you take your passion and you're receptive and don't just kind of keep hitting a wall that's not responding, then you will find, you know, like water, you'll find a path, but you have to be open to it. And sometimes it takes a lot of patience.
Yeah. And so what's next? What does the future hold for you guys and for Mia Foodie?
Yeah, we're looking at, without naming a place or a product, we're looking at expanding. So being in, you know, in another country soon, next year soon in terms of food, because it moves a bit slower than a lot of industries. So that's really where we're putting a lot of our time, but also just really kind of coming out of COVID, you know, with our partners. So we, you know, we have import partners who then sell to the stores, and everybody's sort of been a bit muddled up in everything. And so now it's at least a bit more predictable, if not the same as it was before. The steps are clear. So just focusing on kind of getting going again, you know, after such a kind of trying period for everybody. And that expansion. Yeah. And we have a couple new products out as well. So that, you know, you have to get out there, talk about them and get them into distribution, into the stores.
Fantastic. Well, Brett, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
If you had one final message that you might want to share with the world, what would it be?
I would just say, I mean, if it's about business or what people are thinking, I would just say kind of go with what you're feeling and, you know, pay attention along the way. And I would say if it's about Mia and any food product too, we really like it when people dig deeper. They can ask us questions, but you should also question your products, because in the end, the consumer is the most powerful. The consumer changes massive corporations. And so if people are questioning more of what's going on behind the product, then I think the world will change in a better way, because most people, they want to create that better world, but there are a lot of forces out there that make it not so simple and straightforward, you know. So
that's great. So thank you very much, Brett. And if you're in the UK or the East Coast of America, why don't you head to Whole Foods and you'll find yourself some Mia chocolate. Otherwise, you can head to Mia Foodie and find out where to get some ordered online, or maybe even in a store. Heaven, please.
So thanks, Boris. Thanks for
thanks, Brett. Take care. Yep. Bye for now.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the RebChat Inside Stories series. We hope you enjoyed it. To feature your inside story, contact us at www.rebcatcreations.com or follow us on Instagram at RebCatCreations.